The Lord's good to us. The Lord is absolutely good to us. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. As you're returning to your seat, you can thank the Lord for $1,203 in offering today. May the Lord bless you for your giving. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we feel here today. Appreciate His goodness to us. Y'all hear me all right? I don't have a lot of voice. I can't holler today. So just bear with me today and we'll try to do the best we can. Book of Romans chapter number 1. So we're reading from today the book of Romans chapter number 1. I'll be dropping down and reading verse number 18. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. Book of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your spirit that we've felt already here in this service. Lord, would you help us in this place today? Would you touch me? Would you anoint me? Would you help me, God, to preach this word that you've laid upon my heart today? Send conviction to this house and meet us up on this altar. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Church said, amen. I'm quiet, but you can be loud. Won't be no problem with that today. I've been studying this subject, and it's a subject we don't hear a lot of preaching about, but it's not a subject that we like to preach about very often, but it is a subject nonetheless that I think we need to hear about. My subject today is this: the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Romans chapter 1 is one of the most it's just such an intriguing chapter. It is a chapter that if I could just give somebody one chapter, I would love to give them Romans chapter 1, because you can take Romans chapter 1 and absolutely find your way into the gates of heaven if you'll go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the first part of Romans chapter 1, the first 17 verses, it deals with Paul giving to us an explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He begins to explain to us why that we have been given the gospel, what it is. And it's in that first chapter that we're given that great verse, verse 16, where he tells us of how that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And when we come down to the 18th verse, which is our text today, the line becomes divided in this chapter. And this second section of Romans chapter 1, it goes from the explanation of the gospel to Paul giving the Romans a clear understanding of the reason that the gospel message was given and why that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is so necessary. Therefore, I think that because of this, Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write about the wrath of God. This 18th verse of the first chapter becomes the dividing line of these two sections. God's wrath against sin becomes the focal point of the rest of this second section of the first chapter of the book of Romans. Now, I understand today that preaching about God's anger against sin. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. God's anger against sin is not a popular subject in the day and hour that you and I are living in. It's nowhere near a very popular subject. In fact, many preachers will come to pulpits today and they will preach that there is no such thing as the wrath of God, that it was done away with at the cross of Calvary. But I do not believe that in whatsoever, in any shape, form, or fashion today. In reality, I'm going to preach to you today, if the Lord will help me, that God is love. I believe it. I believe that God absolutely is love. But I believe that one of the aspects of the love of God is His wrath and hatred of sin. His wrath and hatred of sin cannot be separated from His perfect love. It is an aspect of the love of God. God is a perfect being. He is a true perfect being. And God is absolutely perfect in His love today. But He is perfect in His holiness as well. And He is perfect in His judgment. He is love this morning toward the sinner. I wish the Lord would help me today. He's love toward the sinner. But I want you to understand He is hate toward sin. He's love toward the sinner. But He is hate toward sin. And many people this morning are bothered by the fact of a God who reacts in wrath and judgment. But I stand here today and I'll tell you I'm bothered by a God that does not act in wrath and judgment. I think to be a holy God and to be a righteous God, He must be a God that acts in His perfect wrath and in His judgment. I want to answer the question today, if the Lord will help me, on what is the wrath of God? What is the wrath of God? Is this okay today? What is the wrath of God? There's two pictures of the wrath of God that are shown to us in the New Testament scripture. One refers to a sudden explosion of anger. I think we all may have a good understanding of what that is when somebody explodes in their wrath and an explosion of anger. It is the most common idea that's presented to us in the New Testament of the wrath of God is this explosion of the anger of God toward unrighteousness and sin. Josh was preaching and teaching to us this morning about the end time. And when we go to the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, that is where that this ideal of the anger of God in explosion fashion is found very prevalent and very relevant throughout the book of Revelation. But when we're in the 18th verse of this first chapter of the book of Romans, it's a much different ideal that is put forth to us than what is put forth to us in the book of Revelation. Here in the book of Romans, I believe that the meaning is to be red-faced. It implies the picture of someone who is holding in his anger and controlling it while it builds up inside of him. It implies that there will come a time when that anger will be released, when all of that pent-up anger and all of that built-up anger will be released and it'll come forth at one moment. Have you ever read in the Bible where the Bible talked about folks who rejected? Man, it's quiet here this morning. You ever heard of people, the Bible talked about folks who absolutely rejected the long-suffering of God, who God in His long-suffering wretched for them, and He tried to help them, and He extended mercy to them, and He was continually doing everything He could to pull them out of sin. The long-suffering of God and the goodness of God, trying to lead men to repentance, trying to pull them into where they need to be. But the next verse of that same chapter, He writes and begins to tell us of how that because of the hardness of their heart, and because they would not repent, they begin to treasure up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In the book of Revelation, we fully see when the wrath of God is unleashed and when the wrath of God comes to its complete state. And there it becomes unmingled with mercy and released upon the sins of men and upon how they have lived and upon ungodliness and unrighteousness. But here in Romans, he begins to tell us about the wrath of God, that God in His long suffering is holding back His wrath. God in His long suffering is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And He's continually trying everything He can to get them to repent and
and turn around. But understand that because he's a long-suffering God doesn't mean that the wrath of God is not continually building up. It's continually. When God extends a hand of mercy to somebody and God reaches out to someone and he tries to pull them back in and he tries to pull them by his goodness back into a place of repentance, back into the fold of God, back into a relationship with the Lord, and they reject it and they turn away from it. Understand that all they're doing is treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. It pictures a God sitting in heaven that's being red-faced. He's not leashing forth his anger. He's not, if he would in a moment. My God, it's the mercies of God that every man that commits sin is not consumed in that very moment. It's a wonder that every man doesn't fall off the face of the earth into the pit of hell. It's just because of the cross of Calvary and because of the mercy of God that every one of us are not in hell this morning. But I want to preach to somebody. I was praying yesterday and God laid this burden on my heart to preach here this morning. Don't think that because the wrath of God has not came speedily that it's not treasuring up, that it's not building up. Men may seem to be getting by this morning, but there's a judgment day coming that the wrath of God will be sure and it will be true and it will be righteous.
Oh, you are looking at me today. Whew. Oh, God, would you help me today in this place? Whew. Oh, God, would you help this preacher to preach this morning? Oh, listen. Listen to me this morning, sinner. Listen to me this morning, sinner. You're in this house today. You're in this house today, and this sick preacher's got to do his best to try to preach to you and warn you today and warn you of the wrath of God that's coming upon you for the way you're living. And I want you to understand you're not getting by. You're not getting by. You're not getting by. You're not getting by. No, sir. The preacher may not know about it. Your spouse may not know about it. Your mom and dad may not know about it. But there's a God in heaven that knows about it. And I want you to understand that every day you put your hand to that sin, every day, oh God, would you help me to preach in this house? Every day that you go on and rebel against the will of God, you're treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. And there's coming a day that that dam's going to break and it's going to flood forth and it's going to wash you away. Now, I know it ain't what you came expecting this morning, but this is what the Lord gave me. Listen, listen, look at your Bible this morning. Look at your Bible this morning. All through your Bible, all through your Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, you'll find times when the wrath of God became evident, when the wrath of God spilled out and it became visible. Listen, I don't understand this. I was telling somebody this morning about what I've been studying and preached to you all this morning. And I know this ain't what you came to hear, but this is what you're going to have to hear this morning because the Lord gave me this. I want you to understand this morning. I don't understand everything about the wrath of God. I don't understand exactly why that there's some instances in the Bible where God's wrath came upon one individual and it seems like somebody else got by for years and years doing worse than what they did. Someone said to me, well, that's for the Old Testament. No, sir, it's for the New Testament. It happened after Calvary, Brother Jeff. Look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when the New Testament, after the Holy Ghost, it came upon the church. God slayed them dead right in the church of God.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir. You're right.
Y'all believe that today?
Yes, sir.
Woo! After Calvary, after the cross. And I looked into Ananias and Sapphira's situation, Brother Raleigh, and I mean, all they done was sold their property and gave part of it to the church and kept part of it and lied about it. I know people in the church does a lot worse for a lot longer time.
And I don't know why it is or what it is or the ins and outs of what triggered that. I don't understand. But I know this today. There's times throughout the scripture, and I don't have time or the effort this morning to tell you all about it. But I know there's times in the scripture when God's wrath, for some reason or another, Brother Norman, it broke forth and it consumed people that got in its way. Look at it. Look at it in the book of Genesis. Look at the flood in Noah's day. What triggered all of that? All of a sudden, all of that anger that was built up behind that dam, all of that was built up in behind that, all of a sudden, some way or another, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And there came a point when God gave them their last altar call, and God gave them their last chance to get on that ark of safety, and God gave them that last opportunity. And all of a sudden, 120 years they'd got by living like they was living, with nobody seemingly ever taking notice of the sins of their life. But all of a sudden that dam broke. All of a sudden, I don't know why, I can't explain it to you, but I'll tell you this, the wrath of God was poured out without mercy except on Noah and 8 souls inside that boat, and God washed this world in a watery grave. What about at Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened at Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened at Sodom and Gomorrah? Somebody help this sick preacher preach and tell me what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone rained down from God out of heaven, and he absolutely annihilated that city and wiped them off the face of the earth. I don't know exactly why that it was that his wrath broke through that day, but for some reason or another, Brother Norman Smith, the wrath of God broke through on the city of Sodom. Let's walk down to the Red Sea shore. Let's look there as Pharaoh his heart has been hardened, and a time after time God sent plague after plague into Egypt, and God made himself known to Pharaoh, until even people in Pharaoh's house said, there is a God. Even the Egyptians begin to say, there is a God of Israel. They begin to admit it. But after all them plagues, after all of them judgments, God led Pharaoh right up to the Red Sea and buried his army in a watery grave. I don't know exactly why, but there's sometimes that the wrath of God bursts forth on an individual or a group of people and consumes them. Sudden burst. I begin to look in my Bible. I found individual cases where people would rebel against God. I wouldn't preach this if God didn't ask me to preach it to you all today. Y'all looking worse than I feel. Sudden cases. I don't understand why. I can't explain it. But I know it's in the Bible. At times when all of a sudden it might be one person or a whole group of people, but for some reason the wrath of God was unleashed upon them, and it consumed them and washed them away. And I think this is where we are today. I think we're in that time. My God, can you imagine the wrath of God that's treasured up in heaven this morning? Brother Smith was preaching about the end times to us this morning, teaching to us about the end times. Can you imagine this morning the wrath of God for all these years that's been treasured up, waiting for the day of wrath, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God? There is coming a righteous judgment of God. God, you better believe it. But here's where we are this morning. Because the sentence against an evil work, the Bible said, is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And here's where we are this morning. Men are taking for granted. They're taking for granted the goodness of God. They're taking for granted the mercy of God. They're taking for granted the long suffering of God. We're in a day of mercy. We're in an hour where God beckons men to turn from their sin and to repent of their evil doings and give their heart to him and can't turn their life around. But because the wrath of God is not being visibly at that moment put upon people, they're continually putting off getting right with God. I want to say to somebody this morning, you don't need to take God's grace for granted any longer. Oh God, oh God, Anthony, can you give me a little more monitor up here? Woo! Oh God, somebody said, won't you let somebody else preach this morning? I can't let somebody else preach this morning. God laid this on my heart yesterday. Woo! I gotta tell somebody in this house. I gotta tell somebody in this house this morning. I gotta tell somebody in this house this morning. Because it's never happened, don't mean it won't. They'd never seen rain. They'd never seen it rain, but it didn't stop it from raining. They'd never seen fire and brimstone from God out of heaven, but it didn't keep it from falling. Woo! Oh, listen to me today. Listen to me today. Listen to this preacher today, sinner. I gotta tell you on the authority of God's word, you don't need to take it for granted any longer. You don't need to live in that any longer. You gotta understand something today. Every moment you live in sin, you live in that threat of being the one that God's wrath could break out upon. I know there's coming a day of righteous judgment. I know there's coming a day of wrath that's not mingled with mercy upon this world. But read your Bible. From time to time, the wrath of God fell upon certain individuals for reasons I cannot explain. I can only tell you that it happened. But I'll tell you this, as long as you're outside the ark of safety, as long as you're outside the foe of God, as long as you're outside the cross of Calvary, you stand in danger every hour. God. Oh God. Oh God, help me in this place today. Help me in this place today, Lord. Whew. Preacher, I don't believe that today. Better read your Bible. Better read your Bible. Preacher, I don't believe that's for this dispensation. You're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible talked to us about how much sore punishment will they be thought worthy of who have trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God. In Moses' day, what did they do? They took stones and stoned them. They killed them. He said that was the punishment of sin in that day, was death. But he said, how much sore punishment? Suppose ye, those that's had the truth and been enlightened to the truth and know what they know, how much sore punishment will they be who have trodden underfoot the precious blood of the Son of God? I know today that when most preachers take this subject that I preach, they try to intimidate their congregation in the praying. I'm not trying to intimidate you in the praying. I'm just stating the facts to you and telling you the Holy Ghost moved on me yesterday and told me this morning to tell somebody in this house, you need to get under the blood. You're in danger. We can go home and act like this is just another normal service, but write her down in your book. You're going to come back and say, that preacher knew what he was preaching about on that Sunday morning. I'm telling you, you need to get under the blood. You're in danger. You're in danger. You're in danger. You're outside the foe. You're outside the protection of God. You're in danger. Whoo. God help this preacher today. I want you to notice today that it is the wrath of God. It's not the wrath of men. It's the wrath of God
the wrath of God. When you and I get angry, we display our wrath. We shouldn't, but people do. And it's tainted by sin. We respond after the flesh, and usually our outbursts are selfish and foolish. Do you all agree with that today? It's foolish. It's selfish. It's something that provokes us to act like we act. But on the other hand, God's wrath's never that way. It's balanced. It's fair. It's perfectly just. You can be sure, and here's the thing. You can be sure today that when the wrath of God falls on alive, it was deserved and it was executed in perfect and divine justice. You may get mad, or I might get mad and say something that's not right or undeserving. But the wrath of God is perfect, and it's holy, and it's pure, and it's righteous. And when it comes, you cannot deny it. You can only stand back and declare that God did what was right. Oh, help me today, Lord. Woo! Oh, help me, Lord, today. Can I tell you today, saints of God, you and I will be a testimony of God one way or another. We'll be a testimony of God's goodness and God's mercy, or we'll be a testimony of God's wrath. Every person in this house today, every person in this house today will be a testimony of the saving power of God or the righteous judgment of God. One of the two. Every one of us. My God, when God got ready to lead Pharaoh down to that watery grave, when he got ready to lead Pharaoh's army down, he began to write and tell him of how that he would get him honor up on Pharaoh. Did you ever read what the Bible talked about? How he would cause the very wrath of the ungodly to praise him. I want you to understand today, we can submit ourselves to God and let God get the glory from our life, or we will be a signpost on the road to hell that says to everyone around us, he's a righteous God, he's a true God. We can be a signpost that says, thank God for his mercy that delivered me out of my sin. Or we can be somebody on the side of the road that says to everybody else, you can't sin and get away with it. You can't get by with your sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin lies at the door. I'm telling you today, every one of us are going to be a testimony to the goodness and the glory and the righteousness of God. But it's whether it's to our help or to our destruction. If the Lord ever laid something on my heart, he laid this on my heart. It feels like water running off a duck's back this morning. Oh, God. I want you to understand this morning. I want you to understand if you're here today and you're dabbling around in sin, I want you to get this today. I want you to understand this today. We need to understand there's no possible way for the Lord to react against sin but in judgment. Am I preaching this with a good spirit today? There's no way for God to react against sin but judgment. That's what Calvary's about. It's the judgment of sin. My God. That's how God feels about sin. You want to know how God feels about sin this morning? He let his only begotten son be nailed to a cross to be the propitiation for our sin. He allowed him to bear the whole sin of the world and then turned his back on his own son. Because when the sin of the world was laid upon the Son of God, God cannot look at sin any other way but in holy righteous judgment. And if God turned away from his son
because of the judgment of sin. My God, His favor will not rest upon us with the sins of this world in our life. Hear this preaching today. I'm telling you, you need to understand something. God is going to judge every sin of every man. Well, well. I want you to notice today it's revealed from heaven. This wrath of God that comes is revealed from heaven. We're reminded that the wrath of God originates in heaven. It does not originate in hell. It does not originate in the earth. This wrath of God that's coming upon sin comes from heaven. It originates in heaven. And what it says to us today is that men may think that some way or another, and how true this is the day we live in, some way or another. I apologize for boring some of you today. But some way or another, Sister Ruby, some way or another, I was thinking about old saints like you who's been so faithful to God. The things you all have seen change over your lives. The attitudes of the world that you all have seen change. I talked to my grandpa about this. The attitude of people toward God and toward the house of God and just good old-fashioned morals. Just, you know, not living together before you get married and having kids out of wedlock and stuff like that. Just how much that's changed in your life, Brother Clay. And somewhere or another, this world has evolved to the place that somewhere or another, we really feel like that we don't have to answer to God. That's exactly how that man Antichrist is going to come into power. Because he's going to have a whole world full of people that feel like they don't have to do what God says. Or don't feel like they've got to be obedient to God. Or feel like they don't have to give an account for God. And they'll fall in behind that man. Be so deceived, they'll fall in behind him to fight the very armies of heaven and feel like they can defeat God. Woo! My God in heaven. That's the attitude of our day, Brother Smith. That's the attitude of the day and hour that we're living in. People have got to the place that they feel like somewhere or another that they've rose above the law of God. But let me give you a news flash this morning. There's still a judgment that's coming from heaven. The wrath of God will be revealed from the highest court ever been known. Higher than the Supreme Court. Higher than the president. Higher than legislation. Higher than world rule. Is the court of heaven, and sitting on that throne is Jesus Christ, and coming from that holy throne is a righteous judgment that will condemn sin for what it is. Woo! I wish I felt better and could preach better. Oh, God, listen to me today. There's a higher order. There's a higher court. Churches says it's all right, but that don't make it all right. That don't make it all right. Preachers, pastors, it don't matter. It don't, my God, it don't matter. It don't matter. What God says. That's the highest court. It cost John the Baptist his head when he walked out there and put his finger in that king's face and said to him, just because you're the king don't mean you can have your brother's wife. But heaven backed that man up. Woo! And the wrath of God came upon Jezebel and Ahab. Then Elijah's day, it came upon the king in John's day. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. So here's the thing today. God has the final word. How many people believe that today? God has the final word. God has the final word. God has the final word. And here it is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven.
against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Listen what the scripture said, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God hates sin. It's the only thing that God hates, but God does hate sin. He doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates the sinner's sin. How many people know that today? My God. If you're here today and you're not right with God, let me tell you something. There's nothing God would love any more than for you to come out of that pew and to get right today. Where's my church at? But just because he loves you doesn't mean he'll look over it if you don't repent of it and turn from it. Somebody give the preacher an amen this morning. Yeah. Listen. It's revealed in the word all. God hates all sin. God is against it. He cannot allow it to go unpunished. He's a good God, but he's a just God. He'll not wink at sin and let it pass by unpunished. He will react in wrath against the sins of humanity. My God. My God. There's coming a day that God is going to react in wrath against the sins of humanity. Yes. Can you imagine? No wonder the writer in Revelation talked about a cup, Brother Raleigh, unmingled with mercy. Whew! Help me right here, Holy Ghost. Help me right here, Holy Ghost. Every time one of them perverts mistreats a kid, the wrath of God builds. Every time they take a life of an unborn baby, at the rate of 3,000 a day in America alone, the wrath of God builds. Every time a man cheats on his wife, wrath of God builds. Yes, sir. Come on. Oh, yes. Come on. Every time they give a marriage license to a same-sex couple, the wrath of God builds. Yes, sir. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. We need to go down the list of our day. Do we need to get into these deep, dark secrets, even in religion? Do we need to come on down and pull off the veil of religion and get down to where it's really at today and let you know that every day it's building and it's building and it's building. It's heading right for that time that Brother Smith was talking about. My God in heaven, when the wrath of God is going to be unleashed up on this world. Woo! I feel like telling somebody's house, you need to flee the wrath that's coming. You need to flee the wrath that's coming. My God, here's the thing, here's the thing, here's the thing. Here's the thing that's so devastating to me about America this morning, Brother Raleigh, is we know so much better. We was not a heathenistic nation. We was a nation that was founded upon God and upon godly principles. And even on our dollar bill still this morning, it says, in God we trust. Come on, y'all help a preacher preach a few minutes this morning. Hallelujah. Listen to the phrase, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means they know the truth. They know it, but they suppress it. They cling to their sin instead of the Lord. If you read the next verse, verse 19, you understand it. God has revealed himself to men. But there's something. He plainly explains to us that when he made man in such a way that every man has something inside him that lets him know there is a God. Every man knows. Yet men love their sin more than they love God. They seek to suppress the truth they know about God. At the same time, they seek to go deeper and deeper into their sin. I know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But do you know that one original rendering of that scripture says the fool says in his heart, no to God. No to God. No to God. No to God. And I say that's where we're at in America today. That's where we're at in this society. And God have mercy, that's even where we're at in our churches. We say no to God. No to God. And live in open rebellion and suppress the truth and hold fast to our sin. Listen, there's only one way to escape the wrath of God. If you're here today and you've been raised in church and you've never come down to the altar and gave your heart to Jesus, is it all right if the preacher just does like he feels this morning? If you've never been saved before, you're under the wrath of God. You're under the wrath of God. You're under the wrath of God. You may have went to church for years, but there's things in your heart this morning, things in your life that you know is not right. You're under the wrath of God. I was praying yesterday. Oh, I feel like telling somebody you're under the pending doom of judgment. God have mercy. Romans 5 and 9 says this, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Yep, my brother God.
Outside the doors of his church house this morning is a world.
Sad.
Millions. Your neighbors.
Yes.
Your families. God have mercy. They're under the wrath of God. And we never get under enough burden to tell them.
Yep, my brother.
Flee the wrath.
God, touch ours.
Please. There's a way of escape.
Please come.
The cross is the way of escape.
Oh, God. Judgment.
Oh, I feel like telling somebody in this congregation this morning, the cross is the way of escape.
The only. Yes, sir.
You can try a lot of things, but you'll never get out from under it.
No, sir.
You'll never get out from under that doom. You'll never get out from that pending judgment that hangs over your head. Except at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Come on, can a church help a struggling preacher this morning?
Amen. Come on, brother.
At the foot of the cross.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, I feel you are helping me right here.
Help my brother.
Preacher, I've tried. I really have. I've tried. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. I've started my life and I'm on the wrong course. And I know it this morning. There's things that's happening in my life and there's habits that's beginning to be formed in my life. And I know I'm headed down the wrong road, but I don't want to be like this. But I've tried. I really have. I've tried. I want to tell you, you can't do it on your own.
No, sir. Try again.
God, I'll tell you at the foot of the cross this morning.
Woo! He'll make it simple.
That's why them old saints talked about the burden of sin rolling off of them at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that old gloomy cloud of the judgment and wrath of God that they lived under every day of their life. My God, at the foot of the cross, all of that rolled back.
Amen.
All of that rolled back.
God bless my brother. Help him, God. God bless him. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. that you feel the Holy Ghost.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I feel the real Holy Ghost in this house. How fitting that Brother Smith this morning, his teacher, would come across that scripture.
Oh, God.
How often would I gather you?
As a hen.
My heart flipped in my chest when he read it. How often would I gather you? I'm reaching for you.
He's holding his wings out. I'm pulling for you. Yes, he is. He's spreading his wings. Get under.
I'll save you from the wrath that's coming.
Get under.
Judgment, sure. It's sure.
Oh,
it's
God,
sure. It's sure. It can't be avoided. The wrath of God is going to happen. It's going to come upon the world. Upon all sin. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It can't be avoided.
Die?
But I'll save you from it. I'll save you from
God.
It.
Why would you die?
I'll keep you from it.
Help my brother, God.
I'm fixing to make an altar call. Lord, would you help me right here for a moment, Lord? I got to go to judgment and stand for what I say in this pulpit. Help me, Lord, to say it like you gave it to me. Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Still count unto me.
Oh, God.
What else? What else could God do?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Precious Holy Ghost.
Oh, God.
Move, God. Convict hearts. Pull the heart, God.
I wouldn't send a dog to hell.
I wouldn't send my worst enemy to hell.
Let
heaven's Holy Ghost. Pull the heart.
I'm telling you this morning, ain't a person in this house has to go to hell.
No, no. Pull hearts, Lord.
There's some folks in this house on their way to hell this morning.
Deal with hearts, God.
You are. I know you are. I'm asking you, won't you turn around this morning? Won't you put the brakes on?
Oh, God. Turn from sin. Oh, God.
Man, I'd make a 180 right now. I'd turn my back on hell and I'd run to the cross.
Yes.
I'd run to the cross.
Amen.
My God, I'd run to the cross.
Yes, sir. Run.
I'd slide at the foot of the cross.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Oh,
come,
I'd tell him I'm sorry. I'd ask him to forgive me.
Run while you're able. God, help my brother. Help these lives. God, I pray that you reach.
Oh, God.
I feel you reaching, Lord. I feel you reaching, God.
Father.
Bless your holy name.
I've done my best today. Preached to the best of my ability. Would you help us in this house today, Lord?
No, God.
Help us to understand, God,
oh,
that judgment's
God.
Sure. It's sure.
God.
There's no escaping it. Every one of us are going to give an account for every
God.
Word,
oh,
every
God.
Deed, every thought, every action.
Oh, God.
We've got to give
God.
An account for
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
I thank you today for your mercy. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the way of escape today. If it wasn't for your mercy, and if it wasn't for the cross, we'd all been in hell a long time ago. God help us today.
God have mercy.
Turn our back on it.
Bless your holy name.
Turn our back on it today.
Help.
Flee to the cross. Flee to the cross. Find relief at the cross. I give you the praise. I thank you, Lord, that when that doom of wrath held over my head, at the foot of the cross, I found relief. I thank you that you saved me. You saved me. You saved me.
Jesus.
You saved me. I was doomed for destruction, but you saved me. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you today. I praise you today. I pray save somebody in this house today, Lord.
Yes.
Save somebody in this house today.
God, stop.
In Jesus' name. This altar is open today. This preacher's done all he can do. No one wants to pray. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God. In a book.